Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
We should be good on the mic. Yeah, so we want to make sure that we're growing as a church. So Jude, verse 20, look what Jude writes to the recipients here in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So if you're going to do those things about praying in the Spirit, if you're going to be looking for, if you're going to stay in the love of God, if you're going to be looking for the mercy of Christ when He returns and He takes us to His eternal home, if we're going to help our brothers and sisters to stay away from sinful activities, if we're going to do those things, then we need to build ourselves up. You build yourself up spiritually. You build yourself up, according to Jude in verse 20, you do this in the faith. Now, what's the faith? Now, the faith is going to be obviously a reference to the faith once delivered of, to all, according to verse 3 of Jude itself. So let's read it. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So that's where we get the reference that this is to be a spiritual building up, a spiritual strengthening. But it still begs the question, How do I individually, personally, how do I focus on my own growth as a Christian? Let me ask you, what are you doing to strengthen yourself as a Christian? What have you done this last week to strengthen yourself as a Christian? To ensure that what you're building is what God wants you to build, but you've put time and effort into growing as a Christian. What have you done? Think about that for a moment. What did you do this past week? Did it include things like this? And this is just going to be a catalyst for a list that has a lot of different virtues and activities on it. But are these some of the things that you did this past week to help strengthen and build yourself up as a Christian? Did you spend time in personal Bible study? Because the Bible, the Word of God, builds us up. It's what gives us our spiritual strength. And that's its intention. We're supposed to feed off of the Word, and you're supposed to be nourished off of the words of God. So did you spend time in personal, not collective, not just here on Wednesday or Sunday nights, did you spend time in personal Bible study? That's one great way that you can strengthen and build yourself up as a Christian. If you want to grow this community, if you want to help be a participant in growing this congregation, then it has to stop with your own has to start with your own personal growth. You must be engaged in personal Bible study. If you're not, then there's no alternative to this. There's no plan B. There's no other option to growing as a Christian. You can't say, well, you know what? I actually missed out on Bible study, and so, but I'm doing fine as a Christian. I'm still pretty good. I didn't spend time in God's Word, but I still grew. Well, that sounds good, and I would love to believe you, but that contradicts what the Bible teaches us. That goes against what the Scriptures tell us. You grow, it's just like a child who says, you know what, I had a bunch of bubble gum this week, I'm good physically, my health is doing well, and you go, okay, that's great, here, I'm going to give this child more bubble gum so they grow this week. And you go, well, did you have any green beans? Did you have any meat and veggies on your plate? No, I didn't eat any meat or veggies all week. Who's seen videos or pictures of people that are malnourished? It's horrific, right? It's horrific. If you didn't spend time in personal Bible study, then spiritually speaking, it looks very similar to someone who's malnourished. It's a horrific scene. It's sad. And the way that God views that, it makes him sad. If you have that desire and intent to grow the church, if you want to be a person who's going to grow this congregation, build it up, and edify the church, you got to spend time in personal Bible study. And then the next one's obvious too, right? Can you imagine a Christian who says they're healthy and that they're doing well, but that never spends time in personal prayer with God, never goes to their personal prayer closet? How often do we see in the Scriptures, when Jesus was faced with a challenge, when he was facing a decision that had to be made, what did Jesus always go and do? And his disciples see him do this so much that they end up questioning Jesus. They go, hey, you teach us how to pray. Why? Because we see you doing it so much, all the time. Jesus spends days in personal prayer with his Father. When's the last time you said, I'm going to take an hour out of my day, 1 hour, I'm going to go to my prayer closet by myself, and I'm going to pray? Remember Jesus in that moment of temptation before his betrayers come? What does he say to his disciples? Guys, now's the time to be in prayer. And he gets on to them. Why? You can't even stay awake and pray for 1 hour? You go, you know what, I'm not there, Brother Doug. I can't do an hour of prayer. I don't have the time, I don't have the energy. You know what, I haven't really thought about or had that desire to practice or to be engaged in that much prayer. Well, okay, well then, start where you're at. Start with 10 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. Start slowly. Engage in personal prayer with God. Go to your Father. You go, you know what? I run out of things to say quickly. Well, that's fine. Just keep saying those same things over and over. If you find things that are important to you, maybe that list is just three things long, and you only have three things that you need to pray about. Pray about those three things fervently and intently. Pray about them over and over. It's not a bad thing to pray the same thing over and over. If your intention is just to pray those things and get them over with and they become a routine or a ritual, then that's a bad thing. But even Jesus in that garden, he prayed the same thing three times and he was very intentional about what he was saying. And that's a good thing. Spend time in personal Bible study and personal prayer with God. And when you don't know what to say, just shorten the list and spend 15, 20 minutes with God and your Father alone. We do this on a personal level. Think about your spouse or someone that you're friends with. You just spent, maybe you went to lunch with somebody. How long did you spend talking to them? Oh man, 3 hours have gone by. Where's the time gone? 3 hours have gone by. Because you've enjoyed the communication so much. That's how we should be with our Father in heaven. Do you enjoy talking to God like that? Personal Bible study, personal prayer, and then the last one. This one's kind of a rarity, right? This is not one that we're used to doing, and I mean, maybe you've done it in your car a little bit, and someone pulls up next to you, and you're like, oh, I wasn't singing out loud. This is a good one, though. James 5:13 tells us, are you cheerful? Are you happy to be a Christian? If you're happy and you're cheerful to be a Christian, then sing psalms. Sing songs. Be singing. And when you sing personally, by yourself, when you're alone, when you're in your car driving, or maybe you have a particular job that you have a routine that you go through, maybe you load the truck, and so you know your routine, you know your habits, you know what you're going to be doing. You don't have a job that you walk in and it's something brand new and it catches you off guard. If you have one of those jobs, then that's a good thing because you already know the routine, you know the schedule. Well, sing some songs. Sing some gospel hymns. Sing some songs that you're familiar with. Sing songs that remind you that your hope is not built on this earth. Your hope is built in heaven. It's built on Jesus Christ. Sing songs about blessed assurance. Sing songs that you remind yourself and you're building yourself up spiritually that you know that your Redeemer's in heaven and you know that he's going to come back one day. The more that you engage yourself in those kind of songs and those reminders, the more that you're going to build yourself up spiritually. You're going to grow as a Christian. And I'll be honest, I've done this and I'm just sharing with you my own personal experience. It's kind of awkward at first. It is. It's not comfortable to be singing, and it takes practice. But I promise you this, you will benefit greatly. You will benefit so much as a Christian when you engage in personal songs. It will lift you up, and it will build you as a Christian, and it will strengthen you. So these are just three simple things that you can get started with this week to help ensure that you're building yourself up as a Christian. And where to do this? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. Who's been on a retreat or maybe it's a camping trip and it's one of those campgrounds that has been there for several years and some of the structures are, let's just be honest, some of the structures are a little dated and they need some TLC, they need some tender love and care, they need some maintenance work, and you've been on one of these retreats or you've been at one of these campgrounds, and then a storm comes in. What happens to some of the structures? Well, if you've been standing under one of those structures like I did when I was a kid, and that thing started to shake and things started to creak and crack and break, and you knew, this thing's coming down. We got to get out of here. We want to leave this area. So we had to go to a place that was safer, that was more stable. The structure helped you to ensure that you were going to be in a safe space, that you weren't in danger, that the structure wasn't going to come down on your head. We as Christians, we are a spiritual house, and we're being built up a spiritual house because we're a royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 9. So we're a spiritual house, and we're a royal priesthood, and we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Prayers, songs, giving, all those things. And when we do that, we're also going to be facing difficulties in life. We're going to be facing challenges. And this group that Peter is writing to is no different. They're going to be facing many different challenges that were coming from outside groups that were persecuting them, that were causing them difficulty. And so Peter knew, and he wanted to remind these Christians that you have to be a strong house. You want to have a strong spiritual house that can endure times of difficulty. And that's what he's encouraging us to do. That since we're a spiritual house, we're a royal priesthood, and in this spiritual house we make these spiritual sacrifices, he wants us to be strong. And if you're growing as a Christian, then you're strong inwardly. You're spiritually fit. You're healthy. And a congregation like that, a group of people that are like that, well then, they can't help but grow as a group. So we grow individually, and then we grow collectively. And I think this one's obvious, right? So we want to make sure that we're growing individually on a personal level, and we're doing the things necessary for us to make sure that we're strong Christians. And then we also can't neglect or ignore the fact that we help each other. Think about some of the scriptures that the Bible teaches us. Romans 15:2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Romans 14:19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. So we have this responsibility personally to grow, but then collectively for each individual that we come in contact with. We're to help each other grow as a community. Can you think of a better place to facilitate church growth or to help people grow as Christians than in a time that we come together? When we meet, when we come together as a church, one of our purposes when we assemble is to grow. We want to build each other up. So the primary focus, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the primary focus of this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but we exhort one another and we encourage one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So as we do this, we want to make sure that we're obviously coming here in reverence and in devotion to God. You're here because you want to praise, you want to honor, you want to revere God, you want to remind yourself of the great things that he's done for you. But the beautiful part of this is as we do that as a collective group, we're also building up each other as a body of believers. So we're actually fulfilling the second part of the command, encouraging one another, edifying one another, when we focus our attention on God. So we're here to help build each other up as a church family. That's our job. Think about this. Is that your attitude and mindset? Did you come into the worship service thinking, hey, I can't wait to be around these individuals, these other Christians, these other believers, because I want to edify someone else? I want to build someone else spiritually. I want to make sure that I'm helping to ensure that someone else is a strong Christian, a spiritual house. So that when they make these spiritual sacrifices to God, they're fit, they're confident, they're well put together. And I'm helping to ensure that we have a family that does that together. Again, we do this through coming together, but through these three simple things. Did you have this mindset as you came into Bible study? That, you know what, I'm going to help edify someone else. I'm going to help build someone else up. I want to make sure that I pay attention to the lesson, that I'm engaged in the study, that when we talk about things that pertain to spiritual matters, that I'm fully invested so that I can grow and I can help someone else to grow. Have you ever had that question, man, why do we even have Bible study? Have you ever had that thought, why do we have a Sunday night service? Has it ever come to your mind, you know what, I don't go to Wednesday night services or classes because it's just not for me? Well, was your attitude or mindset edification? Did you have that mindset that we come to these things, we assemble together for Bible class, for prayer, for study, for taking the Lord's Supper, for giving together? We do these things because we're here to help each other grow. That's why we have Sunday night services. That's why we have Bible class at 9 a.m. That's why we have Wednesday night services. It's for the main purpose to edify the church. That's why the elders have established having these other meeting times. And I think this is what Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 that your coming together, everything that you do in the assembly together of the saints, should be done for edification, for building up the church. And so the songs that you sing, the prayers that you say, the person who's coming up and leading the prayers, they should have the mindset that I'm building up the body, I'm building up the church. So the person who comes and gives a little speech before the Lord's Supper, he's doing it with the intent that I'm going to help build up the body of Christ. I'm going to help strengthen you as a Christian as we focus our intention on the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. That's my attitude and that's my mindset. So when we sing those songs, I'm actually helping to teach someone else or to edify someone else. So I sing out with a cheerful heart. I sing songs that I'm familiar with. I sing songs that I know the words to it. And yes, this is going to put a heavy burden on people who lead, who give sermons. They need to make sure that they're speaking clearly, who teach Bible classes. They need to make sure that they're given lessons that can actually help someone to become stronger and not just give them the surface level information that's not going to help people. Have you ever been a part of a Bible study or a Bible class that didn't do anything for you? And what do I mean by that? You heard information that didn't challenge you or change you in any way. And that means that you heard stuff that you already believe in, or you heard stuff that you already are convicted of that's not spiritually related. That's not healthy. That's not going to help people grow. We need to hear Bible classes. We need sermons that challenge us, that convict us. When they heard that sermon in Acts chapter 2, what happened to the people? Did they say, amen, we thank you for your sermon, Peter. It just made us feel so good about ourselves already. We're so happy that you shared that information with us. Do you remember what happened? It pierced their heart. Have you ever been pricked? Who's been to the doctor's office and received medication? Maybe you're like our kids, and when they see that needle coming in now, they're 6, 7 years old, and they see that needle coming in, they're like, ah! Because why? They know it's going to sting. They know it's going to hurt. Do you receive Bible classes or sermons that hurt a little bit? They sting? People often say, ah, you stepped on my toes. Well, I'm sorry, because I was aiming for your heart. We need things that are healthy. A healthy congregation is going to receive information that hurts a little bit. It stings. It's not already something that we believe in that doesn't change us or doesn't convict us or doesn't challenge us. If we're going to grow as a congregation, when we come together, we need to hear words that are understandable. We need to sing songs that we know. And we need to say things that challenge us, that force us to think and make us go, you know what? I could do a better job at personal Bible study. I could do a much better job at personal time in prayer with God. I could do a much better job at practicing singing songs of love and spiritual things of God's grace that has done so much for me. I could do better at that. Or are you here and you're like, okay, it's 1:45, we're almost done, we got lunch after this. What's your attitude? If this congregation is going to grow, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow numerically, personal growth, and your intention to realize that when you come together, it's to edify one another. I'm not just here to fill my time in, to punch the card. I'm here for you guys. I'm here to build you up spiritually. And I hope that you're here to build me up spiritually. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt message come out from your mouth. Let no corrupt speech come out. But the things that are good for edification, that build people up. So when we talk and we interact and we fellowship with one another, we want to build each other up. And we can truly do this. We can have true edification. There can't be division. There can't be schisms in the body. Worship services can't be in shambles. God is not the author of confusion, but He's a God of peace. So if there's any passion, pride, envy, jealousy, if there's any deception or manipulation in a congregation, you can't have that. People won't grow. What it's going to do is it's going to cause division. People are going to pick sides of the aisle and say, you know what? I'm going to be on this side because I follow Brother Paul. I follow Brother Peter. And the whole thing is stop following any man. Follow Jesus. Focus on Him and then you'll grow. But if there's any schisms, if there's any division, then we won't grow as a church family. Is your intent to edify the body of Christ? Grow personally and grow together. That's what God wants for us. And we can do this. This can be possible. And as we help to edify the body of Christ, we're helping each other to get to heaven. We're helping each other to make it through this difficult journey as a church family. This morning, if you're here, are you struggling? Are you going through hardships? Can we offer a spiritual sacrifice and pray on your behalf? Can we pray that God will give you strength and the endurance that you need to make it through this life? Maybe you're here and you want to start that journey and you want to become a Christian. Well, what has God asked you to do? He's asked you to follow this simple plan of redemption and become a Christian. And once you're convicted that I'm a sinner and I'm just like everyone else who has sinned before me and I want to change that, well, be baptized for the remission of your sins. The only way that God can remove sins from your life is through the waters of baptism. There's no plan B. There's no alternative to that either. Then you can begin, because you've planted that seed, you can begin to truly be built up. You can become a strong Christian. If we can help you with anything this morning, come forward as we stand and we sing.